You are listening to The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. 2020 was to mark the year of the nurse in a nod to Florence Nightingale. Little did we know that a pandemic was on our doorstep. Internationally, the demand for nurses is up, including the specialty intensive care nurses who travel from other places to meet the critical care needs. We sat down with Hilton Rathel of the Healthcare Association of Hawaii Friday afternoon to talk about Hawaii's urgent need for nurses.
Traveling nurses are in very high demand across the country right now because of the pandemic and also other situations that are going on. There are fires in California. There's a hurricane and came through in the Texas and Louisiana Gulf Coast. And so between all of those factors and the COVID pandemic across the United States, nurses are in very, very short supply across the country.
So how are we trying to deal with our rising need?
Well, there are four separate initiatives that we're working on right now. So one of them is to take advantage of all available resources in the state of Hawaii. We do have a Hawaii Medical Reserve Corps, which is a collaboration between our Emergency Services Branch, HHEM, and the Hawaii State Department of Health. And the Hawaii Medical Reserve Corps is a group of a couple of hundred individuals with different types of credentials, some of them medical, others not, who have volunteered to assist in cases of emergency, but these are volunteers and they are only available typically to serve, you know, for a couple of days, maybe a few days max. And so we have actually deployed the Hawaii Medical Reserve Corps twice this week, or activated that, in other words, put out a call for volunteers for a couple of different situations. So that's one thing we've done, but that's not a long-term care solution. A long-term solution, that's simply a solution to help out for a day, a couple of days, and, you know, if there were to be a brief emergency. There is another initiative that we're actively working on. We're working with the Hawaii State Center for Nursing and all our nursing schools across the state. There are many nursing graduates who have completed all their requirements but have not yet taken their boards or the NCLEX exam. And so under the emergency proclamation that the governor has issued, those nursing students, or the no longer students, are actually graduates, are able to work even without having taken their boards. Now, if they were to work in a healthcare setting, they would typically not be deployed on the front line again because they've not completed their boards, but sat for and passed their boards, but there is a number of activities that these nursing students or these nursing graduates can do to support actual nursing staff. So that's a second initiative. A third initiative we're looking at is these staffing agencies across the mainland to see what resources we can bring in. We have a number of our hospitals that are working with different agencies. The challenge there, again, is the cost, is that's much more expensive to bring these nurses in. You pay them a higher hourly rate, you have to pay all their travel expenses, accommodation, things like that. And the fourth thing we're working on is working with the federal government. So we are working through the State Department of Health, IEMA, and they, and through the governor's office, to coordinate with FEMA and HHS to identify potential mainland resources that would be either mainland National Guard or potentially DOD personnel that could be deployed. But we have to exhaust all local resources and other resources like these staffing agencies before we're able to tap federal resources.
Do you think we're going to get to that point?
We don't know right now. The challenge, again, is a cost. So let me just give you some numbers. So we are tracking our census, and we use our baseline, the average daily census for all of our hospitals for 2019, all of last year. And last Friday, we were operating at about 100% of our staff bed capacity. Now, we have approximately 3,000 available hospital beds in the state, but generally, we only staff about 2,000 of those. So as of last Friday, we were operating at 100% of our available bed capacity. Now, that number has been creeping up over this week, and as of today, we're now operating at 106% of our staff bed capacity. Now, that means that today, we are taking care of 111 more patients than what we were taking care of a week ago. And last week, again, we were at 100% of our capacity. So that means that we are already, last Friday, we were already at our full capacity. This week, a week later, we have 111 more patients in. So we already have been out there scrambling, looking for resources to take care of these additional patients. And because the infection rates are continuing to have tripled, be in the triple-digit numbers, we've had some more deaths, unfortunately. So as those numbers continue to climb, it means that we need to put into activation more of the beds. We have the beds. We have the physical space. What we're short of is nursing, and that's why we have all these different initiatives to pull in additional resources.
What kind of response did you get from the survey?
We've had over 800 people respond to the survey. We're sifting through all of that. Now, some of those individuals are already working, so that, you know, they may be able to do some extra shifts or something like that. Some of those nurses, approximately 150, are these nursing graduates that we talked about. So we're looking through all of that data right now, and we are collecting that information, collating it, and then sharing it, the names that are appropriate and the contact information with our hospitals, so they then can start reaching out to those individuals to see if they can put some of these nurses into use. So we've been somewhat overwhelmed with the number and very appreciative of the number of individuals who have responded to that survey. They can do some things like screening, administrative tasks, things like that. But we're not going to put them on the front line, you know, taking care of ICU patients, COVID patients, things like that. What we do need is more nurses who can be put on the front line. So these nursing graduates and these other volunteers are very much appreciated, and they will help, but they will not solve the problem for us.
What about, like, the CNAs, you know, the aides?
Well, we are utilizing them as well, but it's not just our hospitals that are running into issues here. Part of the issue we're facing is that we have lost a significant number of nurses and CNAs this year for a variety of reasons. There's been retirements, resignations, people not comfortable coming to work. We've got people out, nurses and CNAs are out sick. We had one example just yesterday where there was one in a nursing facility, there was one individual who tested positive, and when they did the contact tracing, they identified 20 CNAs who had potentially been in contact with that one individual, close contact, and all 20 of those individuals have gone back in isolation. So we have lost 20 individuals just at one facility for 2 weeks because of close contact. Now, we are hopeful that none of those 20 get sick, that none of them test positive, but that's the standard, is that they need to be in isolation. In other words, they cannot work for 2 weeks. And we have had multiple instances where that has happened, where we've had a healthcare worker who's been exposed or gone positive or potentially exposed that has had a ripple effect throughout that whole unit or that whole department. And all of these factors deplete the number of nursing staff, whether it's CNAs, whether it's RNs, and so they all contribute and exacerbate the situation that we're facing right now.
So I'm sure then some of the healthcare workers are faced with, you know, double shifts if they've got a cover for workers that are out.
Yes, we are, and that's a concern for us because these nurses, our doctors, our therapists, they have been working for months dealing with this pandemic. They're getting tired. It's a lot of stress. It's a lot of work to do all the infection control, and they're doing an incredible job in their infection control and doing the appropriate mask wearing, the face shields, all the gowns, all the things they need to do. But all that takes time. It all adds to the stress of doing their jobs. And so we are having to, again, look for all available resources, these volunteers, these graduate students, bringing in staffing from the mainland and even potentially tapping federal resources. So we are meeting every day with our federal partners, which is the Department of Health, HIEMA, FEMA, HHS. We are meeting with them every day to give them a status update, to get guidance from them as to what information they need. And so we're looking for all potential resources here to make sure that when the people in Hawaii do get sick, we have enough staff to provide all the care that they need.
And do you see a point when you might have to go to Plan B just on the facilities?
Well, that is a plan that's out there, but a potential plan. But at this point in time, again, we have approximately 3,000 actual beds in the state, physical beds available. Typically, we only use 2,000 of them now. We have quite a few more beds yet. We have literally a few hundred beds more available, which is the actual space. We have the beds, we have the oxygen, we have the power. What we don't have is the staff. And if we were to even go to like a field hospital or a Blaisdell, we still need all the same staff. So it doesn't make sense to go to an alternative care site when we have space in our hospitals. The issue is not space. The issue is not beds. The issue is staffing.
That was a conversation we had with Hilton Rathel, head of the Healthcare Association of Hawaii, about our critical need for nurses.